Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here again today. And Lord, knowing, Lord, that we don't have much time before this world decides to destroy itself. So, Father, in the meantime, we know that we're in Goshen. We're in the palm of your hand. And, Father, before one bomb strikes America, we just pray, Lord, that we'll be gone. Okay? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you may be seated. So, this morning we have questions for August minister meeting. Question number one, quoting the prophet from the seventh seal, and just then he picked me up and took me and set me way up to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent place over in the side. Now, I don't exactly understand, is a tent going to be in another dimension? He says he took me up and set me in a way up high to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent placed over in the side. So is he saying it's going to be there? I don't know. And I seen that light that was talking to somebody above me. Now we know that's in another dimension. That light that you see there on the picture, and that's another dimension. You see, so if it's in a picture, it's not an AI, but it is an icon. Okay, in other words, it's a photo. That's a different technology altogether. It whirled away from me like that, and went over to that tent, and I said. Oh, excuse me, and it said, I'll meet you in there. It said, this will be the third pole. So let's look at what he said. And went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you in there. This will be the third pole. This what? The tent. All right, it'll take place in there. I'll meet you in there. This is the third pole. And there are three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today. Or yesterday, he says. The other one unfolded today, and there is one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there, and I looked right straight at it, and this is the third pole coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. So the question number two, what are these three things that goes with the third pole? As he said, one unfolded today or yesterday. Well, we'll get into that. The other one unfolded today. One thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language, okay? Now remember, he quotes this from the seventh seal. So if one took place yesterday, that would be the sixth seal. One took place today, that would be the seventh seal. Well, what is that? It's a spoken word. Now, there's three things that goes with it, okay? But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it. And this is the third pole coming up, okay? So the question, what are the three things that goes with this, all right? Well, I'd like to answer that. I don't know. That's my answer. I really don't know because he didn't say. But he did say one unfolded yesterday, and that would be the sixth seal, which was revealed. Now, Billy Paul, and of course, said one unfolded today. That'd be the seventh seal, which is a spoken word of God. Now, Billy Paul said when his dad came out of the room, when he was going to preach the sixth seal, he asked his daddy, he said, what did the angel reveal to you? Now, he told me this personally. And he told him that, I cannot tell you, son, or you will not sleep another night the rest of your life. So it sounds like that we're seeing all the things we're seeing all around us as hell has opened wide its dimensional gates. as they're tapping into hell with the thing over there in Geneva. What's it called, John? CERN, yes. I was there, okay? They have a big statue of the god of death, which is a Hindu god. Now, there were actually four manifestations of the third pole, as I mentioned in my sermon last month. On the subject of the third pole, I'll say that Brother Branham said, I must not say anything about it because the devil will do great damage. But it has been vindicated as to what it is, and there are four instances where it was manifested, and each time had to do with life. First, the fish was a show of resurrection life. The fish being raised from the dead and his entrails were gone, and he received a resurrected body. That little fish, I mean, he was resurrected there. Now, secondly, was Hattie Wright's sons were given life, which was a projection of life. You can do that. If you have the Holy Ghost, you talk to people, you share the word quickens them. That's projecting of life. It's gone from you to them, but it's still you still have it. All right? Third was a squirrel spoken into existence, which was a creation life. And fourth was a storm in Colorado that was stopped after the word was spoken over nature, which was restorative life. Okay? That's what we're hoping for in the tent. All right? That's those that are living, okay? Those that are passed on, they're looking for resurrection life. The storm went away, okay? Now, question for number three. At the last paragraph of the sermon, you said, so my brethren, we have a lot to look forward to, but just remember, this is his third pole of his ministry, not ours. But it will be for us who are the bride of Christ. So the question to number three is his third pole of his ministry, so how will it be for us then? So how can you make more clear what you stated? Now, where I disagree with many in the message is that I do not believe the third pole has anything to do with the bride speaking the word and imparting life or creating anything. That was his ministry. But it is for us in that it will be used for us for our benefit when it is used by him. Can't be any more clear on that. Too many people believe that they're going to speak the word and things are going to happen. I don't believe that for one minute, okay? I believe you could do that, but I'm not saying that's the third pole. The third pole was his ministry, okay? You may speak the word like Jesus said, speak to this mountain and don't doubt and it'll happen. That's not the third pole. That's using his word, okay? Speaking his word. Because that was his ministry. It is for him in that it... So, answer then is we will receive our body change. Now, we know the trump of God will sound and we will be changed. And since the third pole is the spoken word going into operation, then somehow there will be a manifestation of the spoken word at that time. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this trump is the Greek word selpig, whatever. It means a reverberation, that is what the vocal cords do when they emit sound, okay? Now, Brother Branham said from Broken Cisterns, remember, that they which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are asleep. For the trump of God, the last trump, the sixth one, has just sounded, and the last trumpet, like the last seal, will be the coming of the Lord. It shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, just resting till that time. Okay? Then from going beyond the camp, notice he's talking about, it's a spoken word here. May it continue to be with us until the last trumpet blows. And you know, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it. Missing people. They can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. So somehow, if the rest of the group and you're getting together, they can see you, but others can't see you. Sounds like a dimensional timing, doesn't it? Just like the tent could be up there someplace in a dimension. I don't know, but it makes sense to me. They which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder. The word hinder is which are asleep. Not dead. No, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest, see? That's all. So I'll see Brother Vail. I'm looking forward to seeing Brother Vail. All right? I'm still looking forward to seeing Brother Branham and the rest of the saints. That's all. Oh, my. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first and appear to many. Appear to many. Now, and all at once you happen to stand and look, and well, there's a brother. And you know it ain't long. In a few minutes, we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And together with them, will be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Is it going to be that your eyes will be open to that dimension? And all of a sudden, there they are. And then you step into the vision. You step into the dimension. I don't know. It looks pretty much like that. From the breach, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Now just think. We're caught up in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. We are dimensionalized in the twinkling of an eye. The devil wants to mock this with a nuclear blast that's going to change people from this dimension. They will appear in Hiroshima, they appeared as a shadow. And with God, there's no shadow of turning. But with the devil, everything's dark, like a shadow. And they will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's a mockery. So Brother Branham continues, no matter if he falls asleep in the first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever he falls asleep, what'll happen? The trumpet of God shall sound. That last trump will blast forth the same time that the last angel's giving his message and the last seal is opened. That last trumpet will sound. And remember, he comes forth to take his redeemed possessions, his church, blood washed. So the question remains, did Brother Branham open the seventh seal? And the answer is no. Did he tell us what it is? Yes. But the seventh seal is yet to be declared when time shall be no more. That's the second coming. So the last trump has to do with the word of God being given. After all, the word is life. Quote for number four. You said at page 10 and 11, now, we have already looked at the time, at the timing, the signs or indicators for the season that it will be used. And we know the third pole will come into its full effect at the time when the Council of Churches begins to tighten and at the time when the squeeze is in full force and the time when the persecution begins. Now remember, we are not here for the persecution. So let's take a step back. We know the third pole will come into its full effect when up there in that dimension at the tent. This is the third pole. Took me up there, showed it to me. All right. And we know the third pole will come into its full effect at that time when the council of churches begins to tighten. We're not going to be here for that. And at the time when the squeeze is in full force, we're not here for that. And the time when the persecution begins, we're not here for any of that. Where's bride? I'm getting excited. Last night I finished a sermon that actually I went over quite a bit. And, you know, how many believe the rapture is the shout, the voice, and the trump? You believe that? How many of you have been living in the shout? How many of you are living in the rapture? Right? Then what are you worried about the next part of it for? Let God do his thing. You're already there. Oh, hallelujah. You're already there. You're already looking at God's dimension. And you're already seeing, and you're still seeing the dimension you came from, which is going purely into hell. You are trans-dimensional people right now because of what? The revelation, which is a manifestation of divine truth. These things I've gone over before and shown you the parousia of Christ, the 85 things that have taken place, and we have been here for 82 of them so far. What's to stop you from seeing 83, 4, and 5 in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? We're there. I don't keep asking my dad for a bicycle if he already gave me a bicycle. You see, you hope for things that are to be, but when you can see it, it is no longer a hope. All right? So when the revelation is a manifestation, it's there. Brother Branham walked hand in hand. He knew when God entered the room. You sat in the audience and knew when God entered the room. You're aware of his presence. So why do we make this a mental confusion? We should be thanking God, living humbly and just happy and joyful, not critical at all. Brother Branham, I sent a tape, Peter actually sent it, and I sent it to the family today. Well, Brother Branham said, he said, you know, they fuss at you, they mock you, they make fun of you, they say you're not a Christian. He said, those are just trials. But you should still be happy inside because you are. It doesn't matter what someone else says about you. That's just the devil speaking through that person. You should be happy for who you are and what he has shown you, okay? So we know the third pole will come into full effect at the time when the council, et cetera, okay? And also at the time when the USA takes over doing the dirty work for Rome, as he pointed out that the beast in Revelation 13 will execute the plan for the beast of Revelation 17, and that is happening right now. So this further confirms that the quote from Jezebel Religion, where Brother Branham taught us, it will move from religion to politics. And then it will get done, the boycott and the mark of the beast. So question number four then, why did you mean at the time that the USA takes over doing the dirty work of Rome, This further confirms the quote from Jezebel religion. It will move from religion to politics. Question number four. That is what we have been seeing for perhaps the last 40 to 60 years. I believe it began with the Ecumenical Council with Pope John the 23rd in the 60s. Brother Branham was here for that. Remember, he came to New York and he spoke to the world headquarters of the United Nations, and New York went into a total blackout at that time with our prophet. And he said it was a sign from God. From the stature, and even God showed the tabernacle how it blacked out in the last age up on the wall. And some men in their lack of spiritual understanding thought, well, they're at eating dinner, we're going to use the car lights outside the tabernacle, and we're going to shine the light on the tabernacle, see if we can come up with the same. You talk about unbelief. It's followed this message. Brother Brown told Brother Vail when he was getting ready to leave for that fateful trip. He said there's 17 different versions of the message. Back then, he was still living. God helped the people. That's all I can say. From stature of a perfect man, and it looks pretty, they'll unite to run. It'll run all, and while the Bible says these beasts have gave their powers unto the whore. See, united them together. See, just exactly what the Bible said they would do. They're doing it now. It's right in position this very week. That's why I said it began under John the 23rd. That's right. It's not that I have anything against Catholic people, no more than Protestant people. You Methodists and Baptists and a lot of you Pentecostals, when your churches has gone right into this federation of churches, when they got this big morgue built there in New York of that federation of churches, it's the same as the United Nations and things. And they're trying to unite all Protestantism together. Now, the Catholics are wise to that and going to bring. And this Pope John the 23rd, or 22nd, whatever it is, he's trying in a little humble way to bring all Protestant faith and Catholic faith to one faith. Exactly what the Bible said they would do. And they're doing it. There you are. And the Protestants falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. So are the Muslims. So are the Shiites and the Hindus. They're all coming under one big umbrella. Why? Why? Because they don't possess these things. Knowledge. The word's right. Patience. They'll wait upon the Lord, see what's happened. So while all these things are transpiring, and we can see them in our dimension, yet we can also see that we're in a dimension we're kind of betwixt and whatever, you know, the word is. And he was watching the Pope doing what he's doing, and now it's even getting worse and worse and worse. And the world is coming more and more and more, but we're going to be, it's like a snapping point. We're going to just be there, and we won't look back at this. It'll just be joy. You know, the Democrats can have their version of joy. We've got ours. Joy comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the Democratic Party. The Pope just come over here, remember, at the tabernacle, you that got the tapes. I guess all of you know, you take them. How that the Lord showed there that day in the tabernacle, exactly where those church ages would be and how they would be. And I had them draw it out on the board up there, them church ages, which you've seen here, draw it out in the book. And if the Holy Spirit didn't come down in a big pillar of fire and went right back there on the wall and draw them out himself while 300 or 400 people sitting looking at it, and you know, I talked to Brother Collins and he was there and he saw it. So did Brother James and Sister Betty, and they're good friends of mine, they saw it, so we're talking to witnesses. And if that Holy Spirit didn't come down in a big pillar of fire and went right back on the wall and draw them out himself, well, 300 or 400 people looking at it, just like Paul said, about 500 witnesses of the first resurrection. Now, those people were witnesses, but they were still in their dimension, weren't they? But somehow they saw into that other dimension. It's Alpha's Omega. Okay. And if that Holy Spirit didn't come down in a big pillar of fire, okay. And just as the Pope started over here, the moon somehow blacked out, and they took pictures, the same way that it was drawn up there on the platform. Now he's made his trip over here on the 13th. He walked 13 steps. That's interesting. The Pope walked 13 steps. Served communion to 13 people. To a nation that's number 13, and blackouts coming everywhere. Don't you see where we're at? We're at the end time. Scoffers shall rise in the last day, saying there's no difference in the time that was than what is, or what it was, than when our fathers fell asleep. But when you see these things begin to happen, raise up your heads, get ready. Something could happen at any time. Christ comes for his church, and he's here. From the rapture, isn't it a strange thing that not long ago on the East Coast, a big blackout? They couldn't understand it. Texas blacked out last week. They can't understand it. Don't you realize that that's a sign? Don't you realize that the very presence of God is the most important thing in our lives? He's here. He breached from heavens to come down among us, to bring him, his presence here, so we could feel his presence and know his presence, getting us an insight into what it's going to be like. Oh, brother. They can't understand it, but don't you realize that that's a sign? Don't you know the nations are breaking? Israel's in her homeland? And these signs are indicating that we are at the end. The same time is blacking out. Don't you know that it's a sign that the prophet said, but there shall be light about the evening time? Why is that important? Why is it important that you receive the Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand the things of God. He had to give it to you first. That began your spiritual journey. We're two-thirds spiritual anyway. He's pulling that third part into the spiritual part. Oh my. The same time is blacking out. Don't you know that that's a sign the prophet said, but there shall be a light in the evening time? That there will be a light come forth in the evening time when the blackouts and things are going on the way that they are now? Don't you think it's wonderful that we're understanding more of the Word of God day by day in a time that the world is blacking out into apostasy, complete godlessness? Look at just how it blacked out, okay? So, from quote number five, quote for number five. During the sermon, you quoted the prophet on Shalom. Then one time he said about the third pole, how it would come by this one, then by knowing the heart, and then the spoken word. Jesus said, greater things than this shall you do, for I go to my Father, John 14. The works that I do shall you do also, greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. So the question for five is there a relationship or link between the third pole and John 14, 12? Well, that's a good question. And the answer is yes, they both come by the spoken word. But I'm not equipped like a prophet to tell you how they differ as well. But I'm sure John 14, 12 is a scripture for the third pole. And that is all I can tell you about it. There's other scriptures as well, like say this mountain be moved, etc. Now our next question is from a young believer. His name was Elijah. who is a son of a brother, Conrad Francis, from Sydney, Australia. And they watch our services. They watch quite regularly. In fact, they're a part, I believe they're a part of this congregation. All right? They cannot stream as the hours are 14 hours ahead of us. So on Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. here is already Monday, 1 p.m. over there. But he said, in our family devotion, my son Elijah asked this question. Now, Elijah is just 5-6 years old. He's a young boy, but he's been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he asks this question. Now, can you think of someone in school today asking this question in the public schools? But this boy says, God does not use two prophets at the same time. And we know God does not change. That's pretty astute for a 6-year-old child, isn't it? Why in Revelation 11, the two witnesses are Elijah and Moses, two prophets at the same time? Isn't that a wonderful question? Isn't that show the child is thinking? From spiritual food in due season, Brother Branham said, this prophet Elijah, we know very little about him, but we know that he was God's servant and the servant of God for that hour. And God has used his spirit that was upon Elijah already 3 times and promises twice more, 5 times for grace. He used it upon Elijah. It came upon Elisha in a double portion. It was on John the Baptist and supposed to come to the issue in the Gentile bride and come with Moses to take the Jews home. So the question and answers again, Brother Branham says, all right, remember, yet future. Now could not have been the coming of John. He was the Elijah. But comes 5 times now, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, F-A-I-T-H, G-R-A-C-E. See, 5 is a number of grace. Elijah makes 5 appearings. 1 time is Elijah, as John, at the end of the Gentiles, and over here with Moses to the Jews. I still haven't answered the question yet, have I? All right. From the Evening Time Messenger. Now, God always uses a prophet, a man. If you use a bunch of men, you get ideas. Each man, 2 men. Never did have 2 major prophets on the earth at one time. From trying to do God a service, he said he never had 2 prophets at the same time. Never in the world. Answer to 6. Now that is a very outstanding question from your son. But if you notice, they are said to be witnesses. They're in a role of witnesses, not prophets. Witnesses. For they are witnessing to the Jewish nation, even though they come with the same signs and wonders that accompanied their prophet ministries while on earth. Now remember, they were also all together to witness the fulfillment of the law in when they were called upon as Old Testament witnesses to the adoption of Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. And yet they are not alone. For Jesus, who is the greatest of the prophets and the greatest witness, because his spirit is in us, is also there at the time to make himself known to their brethren. So in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let all things be established. Since it is all about him, when these prophets, who are there only to be witnesses of him, for the Bible teaches that in everything, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established. Now, do you have a better understanding of that question the boy asked? Therefore, their main role is that of a witness, and the Bible speaks of the witness of 2 and says, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established. Another question. Hello, Brother Brian. I believe that you are well by the grace of God, our Father, and that our elder brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. So question number 7, in reading my Bible, in the book of Revelation 16, I see a war called Armageddon. Then in Revelation 20, I see another war after the millennium called Gog and Magog. What do these two points mean, Armageddon, then Gog and Magog? Well, my answer is, okay, so let's look at these two wars that are spoken of 1,000 years apart from each other. In Revelation 16:15, and we read, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his clothes on, so that he does not walk in nakedness, and his shame be not seen." They gather them together to a place called Armageddon in Hebrews. Now remember, this is Revelation 16. Now the bride is off the scene. Brother Ram said, I can't remember. Do you remember what chapter he said she leaves and then... She leaves. No, he says, I think it was before that. I think it was like 7 or something like that, or 8. But anyway, he says, then God deals with the Jews, then we come back in 19. All right? We come back in 19. So, Revelation 16, okay. And now, let's compare Revelation 20 and 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. Their numbers will be like the sands of the sea. And they came up upon the face of the earth, and they surrounded the camp of the saints. So there had to be many, many more of the children of the harlot than she was his husband, because it takes a lot of people to surround one person. All right? Maybe at least 8. But fire came down from the sky and devoured them. Now, let's see what Brother Brown had to say about these two wars. Brother Brown said, in questions and answers, the church age ending and has blacked out. The bride is called. We have already entered into the tribulation period. No. He's answering a question here. I wish that I could have more time on that, CC. The bride, when she's taken from the earth, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. So if Laodicea goes into chaos, and we're just about 99.9% there now, when men think they're women, women think they're men, and some even think they're a rabbit or a cow or whatever. And I would like to add, the world is 99% right now, okay? The bride goes to glory at that time. And the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. Then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. And then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years. The millennium reign, after that comes the white throne judgment, after that comes the new heavens and new earth, and the new city coming down from God out of heaven. And eternity and time blend together. Then from his sermon, Victory Day, we have had many great battles, spiritual battles, many great V-days that the church has had. I mean, the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the organizational system now. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Body of believers down through the ages has had many great V-days. We talk about that. We've had several wars, rumors, wars and rumors of wars, and V-days and V-days and V-days, and it's finally wind up into the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it when he comes to the battle of Armageddon. That'll settle the whole thing just before the great millennium. Armageddon is to clean off the earth. So it's going to happen. By nuclear power, God is going to clean the earth first. We're gone at that time. So you might want to ask, clean off the earth for what? And the answer is for the millennium. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing and volcanic ash and thing, sinks like this soaked blood of men upon the earth and sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth, and the volcanic breaks out again and renews and cleans the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live here. Amen. I say I like that. Yes, sir. There's coming a time when it'll be great. Now, from questions and answers on the seals, Brother Brown says, would you explain how Satan is bound 1,000 years, being loosed again for the battle of Revelation 20 and 8? That is not the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon takes place on this side, see? All right? When the tribulation period is ended. Now, that relation does not have with the battle of Gog and Magog, none. One is this 1,000 years, and the other is the end of the 1,000 years. In other words, pre and post. As mentioned, the fourth seal, when Gog and Magog be gathered from peoples on the earth, Satan was loosed out of his prison and went to gather all the people, the wicked, to bring them to this place, and God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they were consumed. See, two great battles all together. So you see Armageddon, and let me just stop right here and just say this. We have a WEF, which is a Western Economic Summit or Forum, and we have a EEF, which is an Eastern Economic Forum. These two are about, they make up the world's population. And they're actually moving toward fighting each other, economically fighting each other. So Armageddon is going to be everybody gathers together and they have a blowout. And nobody survives. So you see, Armageddon has not taken place yet. After the bride is gone, then tribulation sets in for 3.5 years. And at the end of the tribulation, the Armageddon and the earth is cleaned off by fire, getting it ready for the millennium. Now you say, well, when is the Vatican going to be burned? Well, it'll be burned before Armageddon. Now, how soon? Don't know. It only takes an hour, the Bible says. There's 3.5 years. Then after the millennium is when Gog and Magog, that is another showdown. And it will be the final battle with the devil and his minions who come and try to overthrow the bride in Christ after the white throne judgment. Now listen, all you have to do is see some interviews of people today that are totally devil-possessed, in your face, against Christians and Christian values. Their mockery and everything else is so apparent, it's not going to change. And they don't change on the other side of the millennium. They don't change for the 1,000 years that they are in limbo. Not limbo as a Catholic term, but limbo as meaning they're in the fifth dimension. But they're brought out of the fifth dimension for the second resurrection. That's when they all show they have that spirit, the same spirit they went down with, they're going to go down with again. But never forget, he is a captain of the Lord of hosts, and he is our buckler and shield. He comes and destroys Satan and all his hosts, and they are then thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hands, and laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now notice the devil is bound for 1,000 years by chains. These are not long chains, but a chain of circumstances. He can't get anyone, he can't get to anybody. Because only the bride will exist during the millennium. You see how powerful the Holy Spirit is that he can't even get to you because you got God. From question and answers. Now there you are, to the question a while ago. See, at the judgment seat, Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured, went up into glory, and was there and was married, returned back to the earth, and lived 1,000 years. I'm going to read this again. Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured, went into glory, and was up there and was married. See, she's up there as his bride. But she returned back to the earth and lived 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, Satan was loosed out of his prison. That is bound by an angel with a chain, not a log chain, but a chain of circumstances. All of his subjects was in hell. They're in that fifth dimension. All that was resurrected on earth was redeemed, and Jesus was with them. He couldn't work on nothing. But at the end of 1,000 years, the second resurrection, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, over which the second death has no power. Now notice, in this second resurrection, when they come up, then Satan loosed out of his prison for a little season, then the judgment is set. Now watch. Jesus with the bride as king and queen sat at the throne. White throne judgment. And the books were opened. The books of the sinners. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And every man was judged thus by the bride. Know ye not, taking these little matters before the law, know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? That's what Paul said. See, all right. Again, from question and answers. Does a millennium have to do with 1,000 years? Could it not be a generation? No, a generation allotted in the Bible is 40 years. But the Bible said, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years upon the earth. Because 1,000 years upon the earth is counted as a time for parable like to God as one day. So we're going to be up there one day. Okay, 1,000 years, but like one day. 1,000 years upon the earth is only one day to God, as God counting time. How many understands that? Now, so it's that Sabbath day when the church will no longer labor against sin. And Satan is bound for a little season, 1,000 years, because his subject is all in hell, and the church that's on earth is redeemed and right in the presence of God, so he has nothing he can work on. So it's not a chain, as I said, a log chain. It's a chain of circumstances. He has nothing that he can do. He's helpless and hopeless, just waiting for the resurrection of the subjects. Then they're separated as sheep from the goats, from junction of time. I better hurry because we're only halfway through. Now let us pray one final prayer now for the sick. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this young man this morning too, Lord. And as he sat here this morning, listening to the word and seeing these ministers with their hearts aflame as they laid hands on the sick, I just ask you just now, seeing the testimony there, people raising their hands that's healed of cancer and blindness and deaf and dumb and crippled, and it's all a challenge. And we looked down at this blessed old word and said these days would follow, would be here. And here we stand. We see the omnipotent God with his arms outstretched in signs and wonders coming. We hear the sound of the abundance of rain in the air. We know that we're in that great day of the last rain when Satan will be bound and cast in the pit. Chained with a chain of circumstances that he cannot come out and deceive the nations no more. And 1,000-year millennium reign will take place on the earth while we're glorifying our God or our Lord Jesus and adoring him, crowning him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now from Revelation 23. and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Okay, so during the millennium, Satan will be bound by a chain of circumstances. He can't get to anyone because only the elect will inhabit the earth during that millennium. So we have established this point. Everybody understand this point? Okay. Then the Bible continues by saying, and after he that must be loosed a little season. Okay, so after the millennium, Satan is to be loosed from those chains. In other words, the earth will be populated again with the people who have received their resurrection to being judged in the general resurrection. And so Satan now can get to these people. They listen to him, you don't. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word, and for the word of God. So this is everyone who is not the bride, which comes up at the second half of the first resurrection. All right, the bride comes up the second half of the first resurrection. This is the second resurrection. So this will include sinner and saint. This is where God judges the hearts of men, and many are given life for what they did for the bride of Christ. But also many will be condemned at this hour, at the white throne judgment. And those which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark on their forehead, nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So we see the first resurrection of perhaps the second half of the first resurrection, being that the first half took place 2,000 years ago with the Old Testament saints when Christ ascended on high and led captivity captive. These given life at this resurrection and honeymoon with Christ during the 1,000-year millennium. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Or basically the second half of the first resurrection, as I explained. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This includes all the Old Testament saints and the Gentile bride of Christ. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now remember, he is only bound by circumstances. Everyone, and listen, every one of you are the gatekeeper of his prison because he can't get to you. So you get to put him in prison 1,000 years. Now remember, he is only bound by circumstances. Everyone living during the millennium has the Holy Ghost and can't be deceived, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the numbers of whom is as the sand of the sea. So the second resurrection is for the rest of humanity, and it is here that the sheep will be separated from the goats. Okay, from the Church Age book. But someday, those feet of brass will stand upon the earth, and the judge of all the earth he shall be. And with equity and perfection will he judge mankind. And there will be no evading that judgment, no turning of that justice. There will be no tempering of it. He that is unjust will be unjust still. He that is filthy will be filthy still. The unchanging one will not change then, for he never has and never will. Those feet of brass will crush the enemy. They will destroy the Antichrist, the beast, and the image, and all that is vile in his sight. He will destroy the church system that has taken his name only to corrupt its brilliance and crush them along with the Antichrist. All the wicked, the atheists, the agnostics, the modernists, the liberals, will all be there. Isn't that going to be a great time? All of the God haters they'll be there, but they're going to be judged. Death, hell, and the grave will be there. Yes, they will. For when he comes, the books will be opened. That is when even the lukewarm church in the five foolish virgins will appear. And he will separate the sheep from the goats. When he comes, he will take over the kingdom, for it is his, and with him will be 1,000 times 1,000, thousands, or 10,000s. His bride will come to minister to him. Glory. Oh, it is now or never. Repent before it's too late. Wake up from among the dead and seek God to be filled with his spirit, or you will miss eternal life. Do it now while there is time. Okay, and from the Church Age book, chapter 7, there is another point to see here in the great white throne judgment. There will be a separation of people. The book of life will be opened and another book will be opened. Matthew 25, 31 to 46 says, when the Son of Man shall come in all the glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? They weren't even aware that they were doing it. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and or in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or a thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? I mean, we had our prison ministry, didn't we? Then shall he say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of these, of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I'm back to Revelation 20. We'll pick up at verse 9. And they came up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from out of heaven and devoured them all. You are going to be surrounded by the wicked. And God's going to step in, and you are going to see the glory of God. He's going to burn them up. Okay, so we see God fights our battles with every one of the earth's inhabitants that ever lived, but were not given life. The great separation takes place, and they once more try to take over, showing they just don't change. Because that is a chief attribute they have in common since the very beginning, they don't change. They have always hated the Lord's righteous seed and try to fight against her, but God intercedes and destroys them all by throwing them into the lake of fire once and for all. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, hell, and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was found, not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice that this tells you that if you were not in him and had representation in him by being in the Lamb's book of life before the world was framed, you certainly will not have representation there after the white throne either. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we took a little bit more time this morning than we thought we would, but Father, we just love your word and just appreciate so much the thoughts the people have asked, the questions, and your word that you've given us so that we can go to your word. Always we go to your word and we can find your answers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.